This is eRadio Mornings.
It is time for our discussion here on eRadio, discussing all things solar and helping you to get off the grid. And today we are joined by Marius Duval from Procon SA, a man with a lot of knowledge, and really looking forward to the coming weeks and months where we will be discussing solar and going green, all that kind of stuff, to make it or make your home self-sustainable and eventually saving a lot of money and not being dependent on anyone or anything, especially Eskom. A big hello to you, Marius. How's it going your side?
Good day, Ion, and good day to all the listeners on eRadio, and I'm excited to join you guys because solar at this stage in South Africa is an exciting journey, and from Procon SA side, we fully committed to, and we had a talk a little while ago that I had on ETV, and the question was raised, do we as the private sector pick up where the government is dropping the ball in terms of Eskom and electricity? And for sure, we are doing it. So I'm looking forward to helping the guys, giving them sound advice, and at the end, maybe even install a system for them.
So, Marius Duval, tell us a bit more about yourself and also about Procon SA.
I came from a background where I intimately worked with Eskom in terms of the Kutala coal mine and also Indrina power station and so on. So, intimate knowledge of it. And 11 years ago, I migrated also to the Western Province, to Cape Town. And when I arrived, we built at between Frederiksberg and Paternoster. And when I designed the house, I incorporated a solar room and an off-grid room. And the guys all around me at that stage asking me, why do you do this? Why do you do these kind of things? It's not necessary. And my simple answer was, and it's still valid till today, there's two things that's going to happen with electricity. One is going to be very expensive, and it's also going to be unreliable. So this is exactly where we're standing, and we can see the trending in terms of load shedding, what's happening. It's definitely not a downward trend. It's, if anything, it's a steep upwards trend what's happening in South Africa in terms of load shedding.
Ja, Marius, jy weet die mense is nou so moeg vir hierdie beerdkrag, is, hulle noem het so mooi in Afrikaans, beerdkrag, dit klink beter as load shedding. I mean, daar is al apps gemaakt om ons te help, om ons te herinner wanneer daar load shedding is. Weet nie van jou nie, maar my gunsteling ene is die een wat so lekker sê, Eskom se push, daai een. Ja, hy sê baie lekker. Maar ja, so natuurlik is dit is 'n probleem vir ons Suid-Afrikaanse jy weet families en ek praat nie eers van die besigheidseienaars nie. Maar hoe maak 'n mens nou as jy regtig waar nou totaal en al klaar is en gatvol is van hierdie Eskom ding en jy sien nie 'n manier rondom dit om nog aan te gaan en op die grid te wees soos hulle sê nie. Hoe kan 'n mens stelselmatig jouself begin afhaal van die grid af en jou eie ding begin doen?
Ja, daar is natuurlijk nie enkele simpel antwoord tot dit, maar ek gaan vir jou precies probeer verduidelik die route wat my opinie is wat 'n mens moet volg om, want eerste plek, dit is 'n verskriklike, dit kan 'n lae investering wees, maar het kan net so 'n groot investering ook, en het hang af wat jy doen. Nou vir die normale Suid-Afrikaanse ou in terme van wat gebeur, is dit net een nuisance, dis net iets wat op die agtergrond is, maar as jy 'n maatskappy is of iets het wat produksie lewer, en ek praat met 'n ou vroeër in die week wat hulle doen is 'n plastic injection. Sy probleem met load shedding as dit aankom, die 2 ure wat dit af is, die masjiene is nie die probleem nie, maar hy vat omtrent 3 ure om sy masjiene weer op te warm, so gewone voordat hy kan produksie begin lewer. So 'n gewone ou wat produksie lewer, vir hom wat 'n 2,5 ure load shedding is, verlengde uiteraard na 5 ure toe produksie wat weg is, met 'n fabriek vol mense wat rondstaan. En die ander kommerwekkende ding wat ons vir onsself moet weet vandag, Ion, dat ons moet weet, dat as Eskom val, dan val Suid-Afrika. niks kan in hierdie land sal kan voortbestaan sonder elektrisiteit nie. So dit is in ons almal weet dat almekaar as jy kyk na Eskom se push en na al hierdie apps en alles wat is oor die nuus, wyd oor die nuus uitgesaai word, jy weet in terme van waar Eskom was dalk die grootste deel van staatskaping. Ek en jy kan aan dit kan ons niks doen nie, want ons het nie gehelp met staatskaping met Eskom nie. Maar daar's 'n klomp ander dinge wat ons kan doen. En geen ou wat dink daar's 'n verskil tussen iemand wat genoeg geld het om onmiddellik vir hom 'n stelsel te implementeer en te laat installeer in sy huis of besigheid en hy's van die grid af. Met ander woorde, hy het nou sy eie klein Eskom-tjie wat krag vir hom genereer en hy sê basies vir Eskom, okay, julle kan julle drade kom afhaal. Ek is heeltemal van die grid af. Ek wil niks meer met julle te doen hê nie. En dan is daar die gewone Jan en alleman, ek en jy en so wat as jy wil baie graag begin, maar in die eerste plek is dit 'n verskriklike maze wat jy ingaan, want as jy na die Facebook en die bakkie brigades kyk op hierdie stadium wat solar aanbetref, is elke tweede huis is omtrent of elke tweede ou het is 'n solar spesialist.
Ja.
So die eerste raad wat ek jou wil gee, as jy begin met 'n stelsel en jy wil weet en jy wil advies hê, kom ek jou sê wat doen Procon. En ek sê nie sê omdat Procon dit doen is dit 'n moet nie, maar dis vir my onmiddellik dat daar waarskuwingsligte flikker as jy stap nommer 1 mis. Met ander woorde, die oomblik as jy 'n ou bel en sê ek stel belang in solar, begin stap met my hierdie pad om vir my te verduidelik hoe gaan ek uitkom by 'n situasie alles net oor 2 of 3 jaar om van die grid af te wees. Ek wil die pad begin stap. So die oomblik as hierdie ou jou geld vra vooraf en dan is dit maar soos enige ander plek is hardkoop. So los dit. Ons maatskappy wat ons doen is as 'n ou ons bel en hy kontak ons, dan loop ons die pad tot en met die stelsel in totaliteit vir hom gepas maak is en ontwerp is en hy die ontwerp kan hy dan vat en selfs al maak hy nie van ons gebruik agterna nie, is dit nog 'n diens wat ons lewer en maak ons seker dat daar iemand is wat van die grid af kan gaan of van die grid af kan begin gaan. Nou kom ek sê vir jou hoe ou gewoonlik as jy met iemand praat, mens ek wil dit graag in Engels sê want die Afrikaanse terme is moeilik om te verstaan in Engels verduidelik die terme essential loads. As jy nou na jou huis of woonstel of wat jy ook al kyk en jy sien maar ek wil regtig in die 2.5 ure wat Eskom load shedding het in die oggend en die aand of wat ook al maak nou nie saak of wat se stage van load shedding ons het nie, wil ek daarom baie graag my internet laat hardloop want ek werk van die huis af. Ek wil 'n paar ligte laat brand. Ek wil my yskas moet aan hê want wat maak ons as hierdie ding ewe skielik vir 2 of 3 of 4 dae af is en jy weet alles in my yskas word vrot. En kom ons sê ek wil dalk 'n ketel hê, ek wil daarom 'n koppie koffie kan maak. Dis essensiële loads wat ek wil hê. Vir die res kan ek in die tyd van load shedding met dit klaarkom. Dan begin jy klein. Jy kan werklik waar baie baie klein begin of jy kan in die middel inspring of jy kan bo inspring. Maar spring in 'n plek waar in eerste plek ek wil nie sê van die kleiner maatskappye of van 'n ou wat nie 'n wetnommer het nie, maar gaan na 'n maatskappy wat 'n redelike maatskappy is en wat jou sal kan dra, want jy moet onthou dat almal van hierdie ouens gaan vir jou 'n deposito vooraf vra in terme van materiaal en laat jy seker maak dat jy sit jou swaar verdiende geld in 'n ou se hande wat jy kan vertrou en dat die stelsel kan lewer wat jy beloof word. So dis die heel belangrikste ding. Dis omtrent want jy gaan met hierdie solar installeerder gaan jy in 'n huwelik tree. En net soos jy met jou vrou of jou man 'n huwelik tree, maak seker dis die regte persoon. So dis die begin. Dis my eerste en as jy hierdie ding gedoen het en jy die regte maatskappy in die hande gekry, is my opinie is jy het 50% gewen, want wat nou hier uitkom is waarheid wat jy mee kan werk en ons pas maak elke ou want jou behoeftes is verskillend as myne en ek wil jou dalk 'n vinnige voorbeeld gee. As jy mense het wat reeds afgetree het, dan was hulle wasgoed deur die dag wanneer dit souder tyd is. Hulle staan dalk eers 8:00 op, maak ontbyt, die son skyn al en hulle doen al hulle aktiwiteite deur die dag wat hulle doen en vanaand, jy weet, redelik vroeg gaan slaap of wat ook al. So die meeste van 60 na 70% van hulle aktiwiteite is in souder tyd. So hy gaan 'n ander stelsel kry as ek en jy of jy wat dalk 'n jong man is en jy is getroud en jy bly in 'n huis of 'n woonstel saam met jou vrou. julle 6 uur of 7 uur in die oggend is julle uit, alles wat julle doen, julle kom eers shower vanavond, as julle terug is, en julle maak kos en alles, en die babas en die goedes in die bad en in die bed en al die dinge, en jy gaan slaap en morgenoggend is dit weer. So, die spanderingspatrone in terme van jou elektrisiteit maak baie saak wat jou stelsel aan die einde van die dag gaan wees. En dan moet jy die tweede ding wat jy moet seker maak is dat die stelsel wat jy installeer en waarmee jy begin, is 'n stelsel wat jy kan groei in terme van inverters, panele en batterye, sonder om van jou ou goed ontslae te raak. Met ander woorde, die stelsel kan groei. Want dit maak net sin, dit help nie, ek sit vir jou nou 'n 3 kW inverter in, en jy sê vir jou 6 maande, Jesus Marius, nou het ek sien hierdie ding loop mooi, en die besparings is goed, en dit werk vir my, ek wil graag my stelsel verdubbel, en dan sê ek vir jou, dis nou een probleem, ons gaan 'n ander inverter moet insit, want die 3 kVA inverter wat jy in het, is beperk tot 24 volt, en klomp rede, en ons gaan dit moet insit. So, jy moet seker maak, dat die stelsel wat jy insit sal kan akkommodeer enige vergroting in die toekoms. En daarna hoef jy regtig nie duisende rande in die bank nodig nie. Ons maatskappy gee ook as jy dit soos op mekaar te koop oor tot op sê ons doen dit tot op 8 jaar in terme van solar wat ons vir jou 'n lening gee en dis soos 'n rent to own, 'n lease to own. Die sisteem is van dag 1 af is in jou besit, jy kry al die voordele daarvan, jy betaal dit af, en hoekom is dit oor tussen 6 en 8 jaar doen? Ons wil typies jou elektrisiteitsrekening, jou verbruik deel van jou elektrisiteitsrekening, wil ons nie, jy moet meer geld spandeer as wat jy gewoonlik spandeer nie, so jy betaal hom af oor 'n bietjie langer tydperk, maar van jaar 2 of 3 af is daar al reeds wesenlike besparings. Ek het vir 'n ouete huis, het ek nou hier in die Kaap, het ons 'n stelsel gedoen, waarvoor ons nou wag vir die aansoek om goedgekeur te word deur die stadsraad. Wil ek jou 'n voorbeeld gee, hulle rekening is so in die omgewing van tussen R60,000 en R80,000, en hulle besparing wat oor die ontwerp leeftyd van die stelsel gaan kom, is tussen R80 en R100 miljoen in reële terme. En die enigste assumpsie is dat Eskom gaan in die volgende 20 jaar gaan daar verhoging wees van 10% per jaar. Wat ek nie dink ons gaan ooit weer sien so laag as wat dit hierdie jaar is nie. Ons moet verstaan dat ons is in 'n verkiesingsjaar en die helfte van wat in Eskom gebeur as jy kyk wat in die nuus op die huidiglik in die nuus het is politiek en Eskom word nie deur besigheidsmense bestuur nie. Eskom word op hierdie stadium deur politikuste bestuur. En dis natuurlik ook die uitvloeisel wat ons hieruit kry, want jy kan nie, as jy 'n besigheid het, moet jy in diens neem. Jy moet mense in diens neem wat die werk kan doen. Jy kan nie ouens in diens neem wat jy graag wil in jou maatjies is en alles nie, want as dit die saad is wat jy in die grond sit, is dit wat gaan opkom en dis die vrugte wat ons pluk vir sondes wat nou al baie lank terug begin gebeur het, die load shedding, reg daar in die begin, in kom ons sê in 20, ek dink in 2011 was die eerste een gewees en so ou praat van dalk 14 jaar, 15 jaar wat dit al in die gang is en ons weet almal dit raak erger en erger en erger. Met daaglikse waarskuwings asseblief verminder krag. Ek verminder jou kraggebruik. En in dieselfde asem wil ek ook vir jou sê dat dis 'n baie vreemde terme vir my in terme van tegnies dat 'n ou kan sê jy spaar krag. Want die oomblik as jy sê spaar, dan is dit by implikasie iets wat jy sê, ek gooi 'n geldstukkie of iets in 'n spaarbus en hy lê daar tot wanneer ek hom nodig het. Met krag werk dit nie so nie. So dis eintlik nie 'n oproep om krag te bespaar nie. Dis 'n oproep om krag te verminder. En Eskom is werklik waar op hierdie stadium die enigste maatskappy wat ek ken wat 'n produk het wat hulle verkoop en hulle smeek jou om die produk te gebruik.
Ja, ek word dit net gesê, jy het nou my heeltemal presies dieselfde brainwave as ek gehad daar, so ek word nou net presies dieselfde gesê daar.
Ja.
Maar hoorie, ek wil nog vir jou gesê, jy het nou vroeger genoem, mens kan sommer dan vir Eskom bel en vir hulle sê, kom haal jou lyne af, maar toe wat ek vir jou gesê het, die kabel die was al sommer die lyne kom afhaal.
Ja, jy kan dit ook van net los, dat al wat jy sit het een advertentie op, dat die is nie meer krag op die lyn nie, dit sal morgen op ons hulle trek wees.
Ek is seker het sal. But, Marius, it's a very interesting, you just mentioned that it's rent to own, which is really, really great, because I think one of the misconceptions out there is that it's very expensive. People think that you have to immediately pay this a massive amount and remortgage your house in order to afford a solar. But then I also want to ask you a question, Marius. In your opinion, what do you think is the risk? How big is the risk of a total collapse of the grid here in South Africa for Eskom? I don't know. It kind of feels like that day is looming and it's coming closer and closer. Is it possible? And do you think, personally, it could happen?
My personal opinion is yes. I talked to quite a few engineers that's still in Eskom, and the overwhelming feedback and opinions in terms of that within Eskom is that we are living really on a knife edge in terms of a blackout. I don't think, because at the time that I was involved with him, there wasn't a plan on the table what to do in case of a complete shutdown of electricity in South Africa. The problem with a complete blackout is that it's falling like dominoes. The moment that it happens, is nobody can stop it, because if the first generation unit fail and we are in a stage of overloading the system, it really feels like, and the only opportunity that we will have is you will have to stand and look at it. You can go and Google and you can see that New York had a blackout. They had a plan to switch on again, and it's one city that I'm talking of now that had a blackout. And it was over a month that they were down just to switch the city on before everything was back to normal. I'm dreading if I'm thinking what will happen in South Africa if the grid is down and we need to start to switch on. I don't think that, my opinion, it will take less than 6 to 8 weeks before we have South Africa switch on again. Mm. Imagine for that time, for 6 to 8 weeks, the moment on the second day, you must remember that there will be, apart from the places where the guys really are prepared for themselves, there won't be any water, because you need electricity to pump water into the reservoirs to give you water. So there won't be any sewage that's going to be pumped away. There won't be anything in your fridge left that's not rotten. There won't be any alarm working in terms of battery standby. That will die on the second day. So no shop, no place, nothing that don't have generators that's running on the 24-hour basis will have any standby or anything in terms of alarms. And you can think for yourself, it will be completely energy in South Africa if that happens. So I really pray that this never happens, because we will give South Africa a kick that we pass the third world country right into a sixth world country. That is what will happen if Eskom fails completely. That's my opinion, and it is a real threat.
Oh, but it is a bye-bye donker prankie daai, pardon the pun. Bye-bye donker prankie daai. Jo, ek wil nie eers daaraan dink nie. Ek meen, dan die verkeersligte gaan nie eers werk nie. Hoe gaan die mens uitsendings doen? Jy weet, almal se generation capacity gaan opraak, soos jy sê, op dag 2 of
dit is ongelooflik. Dit is ongelooflik as jy net daaraan dink, Ion, wat is die moontlikhede van wat kan gebeur. Jy weet, ons sit in Afrika met so groot probleem in terme van werkloosheid, dat wat gaan ons massas doen, die ouens wat regtig waar elke dag van die hand tot die mond lewe, as jy nie eers 'n taxi kan kry om tot in die dorp te gaan, want die taxi kan nie petrol ingooi nie, want daar is nie krag by die kragstasie, want die raffinaderye het nie krag om olie en diesel te maak. As jy, ek wil jou 'n voorbeeld gee, en jy kan dit ook gaan opkyk op Google, 'n stad soos Kaapstad, Johannesburg, Pretoria en Durban, ons 4 groot metropole, het kos en voorraad vir kos vir 'n maksimum van 4 dae. So as produksie in Suid-Afrika moet 4 dae stilstaan, en alles is opgeraap, winkels wat dalk nie alarms of wat ook nie is geloot, of wat ook al die geval is, wat moet jy doen? Nou sit jy in hierdie ouens se skoene, wat moet jy doen as daar geen voorraad is nie? Dit is 'n prentjie wat ek dink nie niemand wil dit hardop uitspreek nie, maar dit is 'n wesenlike probleem dat ons in Suid-Afrika oor die afgrond stoot, letterlik in terme van 'n dag of twee dae later. Dit kan 'n geweldige iets wees wat ons baie baie jare, soos dit nou is reeds, as jy kyk na die verliese per dag in terme van load shedding, wat dit is in terme van besigheid en selfs vir die privaat sektor. As jy net kyk in terme van load shedding, as ma vanaand by die huis moet kom 6:00 en sy moet kos maak, maar daar's load shedding tussen 6 en 8:30, die enigste ding wat sy kan doen is of sy met 'n gasstoofie iewers sê of sy met iets kan doen of sy met takeaways koop voor die tyd. Dis alles kostes wat uitkom wat nie normaal weg daar is. En ek dink as jy hierdie ding bymekaar vat wat dit is met ons ekonomie wat uit COVID uitkom, veral ons gasvryheidsbedryf. Niemand voel eers meer lus om weg te gaan vir 'n naweek nie, want dis load shedding, dis dit. Ek weet nie wat by my huis gebeur nie. Gaan my yskaste aankom as load shedding terugkom, wat gaan gebeur? Ja. Gaan ek van my toerusting verloor? Weet, want dis eintlik een van die grootste dinge. As ek kyk in die Kaap, want jy kan na die koerante gaan kyk, net in die Kaap, hoeveel huise brand af na load shedding gebeur. As gevolg van die mooi woord, dit is inrush currents. Jy weet, ons hoor nie eintlik van hierdie ding nie. Jy hoor van as 'n groot Eskom substasie uitbrand as gevolg van dieselfde probleem, maar dan kyk jy na daai probleem, kyk jy in terme van 'n gewone ou se sak wat jou huis of wat ook al wat afbrand, wat kom ons sê 'n miljoen of 'n miljoen en 'n half is en net opsit, maar 'n substasie wat afbrand, praat jy van tussen 80 en 200 miljoen rand om te herstel. En dis ongelooflik. Ek weet nie of die ouens regtig besef hoe ernstig ons kragsituasie in Suid-Afrika is. In my raad is soos met enige ander ding, dit gee vir jou 'n tipe en 'n mate van sekuriteit as jy 'n solar stelsel op het en jy weet selfs al is die krag af vir 'n week of 2 of 3 weke, gaan ek ten minste my yskas in die loop kan hou. As daar internetdienste is oor die reis van Suid-Afrika, gaan ek ten minste gekoppel wees. Ek kan ten minste daar's 'n paar dinge wat ek kan doen. Ten minste vir my koppie koffie maak, ten minste vir my kos maak. Ek kan ten minste iets doen. Jy weet, so dit is net die wyse ding om te doen en hoekom so baie solar sisteme oor Suid-Afrika opskiet. Dis presies omdat die mense besef, dis tyd om iets aan hierdie saak myself te doen, want die regering en Eskom is nie by magte om hierdie probleem alleen op te los. En hulle sal jou verseker in die donker los as jy dink.
Ja. Marius, ek het die ander aand agtergekom dat ons nou laaste load shedding gehad het. Ek weet nie of jy het ook agtergekom het nie, maar mens sien al hoe meer liggies wat nie voorheen al was nie, wat nou skyn by huise tydens beerdkrag. En dan toe sê ek nog vir my broer, kyk, al die mense is besig om off-grid te gaan. Like, almal is besig om hulle eie oplossingkies te kry, jy weet. Het jy het ook agtergekom?
Dis baie waar. Ons en ek kry 'n boodskapie wat ek kry oor WhatsApp wat sê, weet, Suid-Afrika is die seker een van die min lande in die wêreld dat as jou krag af gaan kyk jy nie na jou kragboks en hoekom dit af is, jy kyk eers na die bure of hulle ligte aan is. So
dis ja.
dit is hoekom jy dit oplet dat die ouens se krag is aan, hier en daar is 'n krag aan, maar ek sit hier donker. Nee, dit is so. Want die mense doen dit teen 'n geweldige pas, want die ouens verstaan die moeilikheid waarin ons is. En ek meen die stories wat Eskom aan ons probeer verkoop, regtig van natkole af regdeur tot by alles. En ek dink die grootste beswaar wat ons het is dat ons twee nuutste kragstasies wat veronderstel is met Doopie en Kusile om die grootstes in die wêreld te wees wat krag lewer teen 800 megawatt per unit, is op hierdie stadium die nuwe tegnologie wat hulle ingesit het en waarin die ANC natuurlik deur Chancellor Rous 'n groot deel van die kontrak gekry het. Dis hulle wat eintlik breek. Dis hulle wat veroorsaak dat ons load shedding het. Die goed wat ons eintlik veronderstel is om weg te hou, dis eintlik die nuwe goed wat breek. So is nie regtig net die ou goed nie, alhoewel hulle ook breek in terme van maintenance wat nie gedoen is nie, maar ek is meer bekommerd oor die nuwe goed wat ons moes deurgedra het vir die volgende 20 jaar wat glad nie operationeel effektief is.
And you know what I'm concerned about, Marius, is it sounds like it's a bunch of clowns running it, and I'm worried, how can you trust a bunch of clowns working with nuclear power, the one we've got here, the only one that we've got here in South Africa near Cape Town. I mean, that can
Kuberg, that can be
incredibly catastrophic. I don't even want to think about that. That's even worse than the total blackout.
You remind yourself that about 2 months ago, there was a huge article in the papers where they, because they want to prolong the life of Kuberg for the next 20 years, so they scheduled the shutdown, and the one unit is on shutdown now. But to extend the life, they also needed to change the boiler of the one nuclear reactor. They had to change the boiler. So what happened in short is that it was organized, everything was happening, and we must remember that all the guys to set up just a site establishment for a project like that, my estimation would be in the region of 200 to 400 million rand to get all the people from Germany, from all over the world, all the experts that's coming in with their workers to do this, because it's a, under the Nuclear Act, it's quite a specialized job that we have maybe the guys in South Africa that can do it, but the outside contractors are coming from all over the world. So the guys arrived and everything, and you can imagine getting the guys here and all the order numbers what went out. And then 1 week into the shutdown, Eskom announced, no, they're not going to change the boiler again. We're going to send all these guys back, which we paid in terms of site establishment and going back to the respective countries. So in terms of planning, they failed to plan. And the moment that you fail to plan, there is no plan, and the plan will fail. And this is exactly what's happening time and time again with Eskom. That it's impossible for them to get out of this hole and do normal business again, because business in terms of power will never be normalized in South Africa again. Why do I say so? If you look at what's happening, I talked to the city council today in terms of a few applications that's in. And the applications that's in is consisting roughly about 16 to 18 million rand worth of projects, and collectively they will save over the next 20 years more than 400 million rand will be saved with the product that's online. Now you must remember, it's not saving money. It's money that used to go to Eskom that won't go into them again now. So they in this downward spiral, they're selling less and less and less. The less they sell, the less income they're going to get. And what's happening is currently, and it's not just a rumor, I think it's on sound, it's very, very sound information that we have, is that Eskom is running on a 6 million rand loss per hour. So if we're talking today half an hour on the phone, you must remember in this half an hour, Eskom made a loss in South Africa of 3 million rand.
Jeez.
On a normal day.
Yo,
and where are they going to get the money from? We're migrating their money away from them because they beg us not to use their product that they're selling, and they're just getting into deeper and deeper into the hole. They're sitting with 35,000 people of access, people that they're sitting with, that it is impossible to retrench. It's impossible to do another business model, because we're also in an election year with the ANC. So there's no ways that they're going to come back and say, guys, we're going to dismiss 35,000 people, which is the right decision at this stage for Eskom to survive as a business. If it was privately owned, it would have been done a long time ago, ineffective. And what we did is we fell from grace from 2002, in 20 years, from the cheapest electricity and the most reliable electricity in the world to the worst one.
Mm.
It is the journey of electricity in South Africa is horrific. It is horrific if you look at it. And not maybe because of state capture alone, but because of Kader deployment and all sorts of other reasons that there is. And I had a professor that said that you must remember that the business of business must always be business. The moment that the business of business is politics, you're going to fail.
Absolutely.
So a political decision to keep voters on your side is another decision, as tough decision, say that a guy that don't pay cannot have access to electricity. And we got too many people, guys, on the book. everybody in COVID. Once we strike COVID and we had to reduce our companies, we had to do it to survive. But not one Eskom employee, not one state employee lost his salary for 1 hour. Mm. Everybody worked from home. If you can or can't, they work from home, and they're still struggling to get these people back. By the way, that's one of the reasons why the applications is not going through, because these guys are working remotely. They're still not back at work, with nobody losing their money. In the private sector, it's a different thing. If I can't pay my people at the end of the month, I'll have to retrench them, or they take me to the CCMA and they're selling my company to pay their salaries. This is exactly what's happening, but not in the state, not in the state industry. It's actually that's also shocking.
Marius, wow, that is incredible. And now, unfortunately, it looks like our time is up. I still have a page of notes that I made here that I wanted to ask you, but we'll keep it for next week. But I want to maybe just quickly ask you this one question. Earlier, you mentioned an inrush current after load shedding. Will it help if I unplug my devices from the wall plugs and switch them off, you know? Will that kind of help? Yep. Or do I need to switch the whole main DB board off?
My advice to you will be, the moment that load shedding, let it go off normally, because you're switching off the power. That the moment that it switch off, go to your main switch and switch the main switch off. Mm. What happens in a case of, you must remember, during load shedding, everybody, especially during the day, everybody's opening their fridges and everything, and the fridge must go into its normal operation once it's going on. You got all systems on standby. There was TVs that's on, there's lights that's on. So the moment that the power comes back on, you have this inrush current in terms of everything in the neighborhood is switching on in overload. Some guys even put their kettles on.
Yeah.
Say, the moment I want to have a cup of coffee, the moment that power comes back, switches is, and everything is switching on in overload. So my advice to you is, go switch your main switch off. Go and look at your neighbor's lights.
Yeah.
Once it's coming back. And then you switch, wait about 10 minutes until the grid has been stabilized. Mm. And then you switch your main switch on. Procon is also a selling system. We designed a system that we put in, and we put quite a few in of them, that where we design it, that this action that I'm saying to you now, you can actually, with a very simple device that we install next to your DB box, this will happen automatically, and you can set it down, say, to 15 or 16 or 17 minutes. So even if you are away from home, the system that we install will then do it for you automatically. It will only switch on your power about 10 or 15 minutes after the grid came back, and I can guarantee you, the moment that you do that, you will switch on in a stabilized grid, and you won't lose equipment in terms of it.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking, you know, when you said that some houses burned down because of that current that just comes in so quick and so fast and so high, where does that fire usually start? Is it just one device that's had enough to, you know, enough, possibly a weak device, or does that fire actually start in the DB board from the inrush current?
Yeah, no, it starts in the DB board, and the reason for that is, when you have the inrush current and everything, Eskom can only deliver so much, and I'm talking now, I'll guide you through in terms of kilowatts so that you can understand. In simple terms, a 60 amp main breaker is about 13.5 kilowatts. So the moment that the power comes on, and the whole area, or sometimes even half of the city is off at one time, in Cape Town at least, because there's different areas that are, there's only so many areas that you can switch off at one time. So the moment that the power comes back on, your voltage drop, and the only thing, remember, a 60 watt light needs 60 watts to glow. It can't take 50 or 40 or 30 watts, so it will compensate then with a voltage drop with amperage is the thing that's actually burning the wire. So the moment that your voltage drop, all the equipment and everything still want the kilowatt rating that they are designed for and work for. They can't do it otherwise. Your fridge motor, that's why the fridge motor burns. When you switch it on an overload and the voltage drop, it compensates with the amps. That's a normal electrical principle. So that's the reason why it's burning and ice is burning. So it will definitely start in your DB box. all your wires are plastic insulated. The moment that plastic starts to burn, it's not only a normal burn, it's an electrical burn. You can't kill it with water. You need all sorts of specialized, and it doesn't stop. Because plastic, once it starts burning, doesn't stop.
Yeah.
It will burn until it's finished or until you extinguish it with the right medium. And where are you in your pipes in the roof? How are you getting in your roof if the fire starts in your roof?
Sure.
There's no way. That's why it's so easy for an electrical fault or something to cause a fire.
Wow, that's very, very scary, actually. But I think next time there's load shedding, touch wood, I'll be obviously going to my DB board and just, you know, instead of unplugging everything. Because people laugh at me when I run to the plugs and unplug everything during load shedding. But just one switch. Yeah. I'll just do the one switch.
Yeah, to do the one switch, do the main switch thing, and it's not necessary to unplug it. So wait for the grid to stabilize 10, 15 minutes and switch it on, the main switch, and all your equipment and all your appliances and stuff will come on. But it will come on in a stable grid, not in an unstable situation.
Marius, this was such a nice chat. I can actually talk about this kind of stuff all day long, but we'll save some for next week. How do we get in touch with you, Marius, at Procon SA?
They can go to our website, and it's just www.proconsa.com/sa.com, and they can also phone me directly. And I also have a nice surprise for the guys on the first day of the first talk that we have, is that Carl Hodson, and the guys must maybe just take it down from Open Communications. They are our financing company, and he promised that everybody that will phone him directly will get a 5% discount in terms of the financing of their system, which is considerable if you're looking at rates current in the financial market.
That's fantastic.
So I just want to give Carl Hutchison's a cell phone number. Quickly phone him directly on a cell phone, and I would love to see 20 or 30 calls to him and let him stand by his word. We're going to take him up. His number is 082-368-0080, or an alternative, they can phone me, Marius. My number is 082-692-0246, and Kobus, our marketing director's number is 064-394-5387. So any one of those three guys, and we will come immediately to your rescue. And remember, anybody that phones us, we will start and walk the way with you until design, and there's no financial implications, nothing, zero. There's no, even if you don't use us, even if you just abuse us, we will take it on the chin and we'll walk away, because that is a service that we're giving for free.
Wow, that's fantastic. And Marius, your footprint's all over South Africa. That's incredible.
Yes, it's all over South Africa. We install wherever you want us, we install. So distance is not a problem for us. The furthest that we installed now was in Pretoria, and so just on the other side of Pretoria as well. So there's distance isn't a problem. Not at all.
Excellent. Marius, until next Thursday morning at 10 o'clock on eRadio, you'll be helping us again to get off the grid here in South Africa. Looking forward to it. Until next time, thank you for your time.
Excellent. Thank you, and thank you for the listeners for listening to us.
This is eRadio Mornings.